Hey guys, and welcome to the first official Raw History podcast. Now in this episode, I'm going to be talking about what happened to the docuseries Raw History, why it was so important to me, the history of Raw History, the whole speculation of the production company drama, what's next for Raw History. I'm also going to be playing some songs and commenting on why they are being played, why they mean something to me. And this episode kind of all has to do with freedom and being able to speak your truth, freeing yourself from the past and allowing the future to be as bright as you want it to be. I'll also be going in depth about the whole Free Britney movement. Now, if you've been living underneath a rock, I don't know what the heck you've been doing with yourself, but Britney Spears has been under a conservatorship for over a decade. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a timeline as to what's been going on over the past 11, 12 years, where we stand now, and much more. So grab a snack, grab a drink. Let's begin our Raw History journey. History is a project that I actually started as a YouTube docuseries. It first appeared on August 29th of 2017, and it was a segment not necessarily for Raw History, but it kind of branched into Raw History, and that was called Moment to Reflect. And that was when I first had the opportunity to hang out with Brandy and what that meant to me. The very first Raw History episode was October 23rd of 2019. That was basically allowing you an insight into what exactly Raw History was going to be, what it would feature, and a couple episodes were released. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Raw History seems to be cursed, and the very first time Raw History stopped production I would say was my own fault. Life happened, things happened, and I didn't continue. Now the second time I was 100% for it, and unfortunately then things with my father kind of took a turn. But not only that, I lost all of the footage that I had recorded, and there was hours and hours and hours of footage that was lost on an external hard drive, and I just gave up. It just went from there. Now, if you guys have been following me on YouTube or any form of social media, you'll know that I am one for constantly filming myself, my friends, concerts, things of that nature. So I also had a little segment that was on my YouTube channel, it still is on my YouTube channel, regarding my father's journey with lung cancer, and I made a video on April 2nd of 2018, and that was actually titled Dear Ellen, I Heard You Make Dreams Come True. Now, Raw History is 100% me. It's my story, it's my testimony, it's my history, it's everything. It's what I eat, it's what I breathe, it's what I speak, it's what I do. It is 100% authentically me. No filters, no editing, no nothing. What you see is what you get. It's just, that's plain and simple. It's me. Raw History is 100% me. And the reason that I wanted to do this and why I originally started with the series Moment to Reflect back in 2017 was to highlight and allow people who suffer from any mental illness, whether it be anxiety, depression, bipolarism, schizophrenia, whatever the case may be, to stop that stigma that is surrounded by those who have a mental illness. And I myself suffer from anxiety and depression, and it's not easy. And I know that it helps to hear other people who are going through similar things, or maybe they know someone who's going through something very similar. And it was very therapeutic for me to be able to sit down, decompress, and originally take a moment to reflect and just talk about things like that. And then the whole, with my father and his diagnosis with lung cancer, it kind of turned into a little mini series regarding the journey that we were dealing at that point in time back in 2018. But again, the very first Raw History episode was in 2019. I talked a lot about my mother passing away, my three failed attempts, I called it. I'm going to try to keep this a little PG. If you want, you can go over to my YouTube channel and watch those episodes. They are still available to stream. But I talked about a lot of things that were really important to me, that made me who I am, and, you know, the man that I am today. The struggles and the uncertainties of life made me a stronger person, and it really reflects who I am. And I think that that's really important to do. Full transparency is 100% key these days. There's so many filters and edits and this and that and Facetune, and there's just so many things, and I myself am a fond believer that Facetune is life. Like, it is what it is. But I really wanted Raw History to be just that. Authentically me. No filters, no smoke and mirrors, just 100% my honesty, my truth, my story, my testimony. And it really all started at a very young age when my grandfather on my mother's side found out that my mom was pregnant. He went out and bought a video camera, a camcorder that was probably about the size of a 1995 VHS player. Looks like one of those professional cameras that would be used today, but it was not. It was just from the 80s. But I mean, literally every moment of my childhood, well, not every moment, but all monumental big moments and random moments were all filmed. Me and my cousins doing magic shows at my grandma's house, and birthdays and holidays. They're all on film, and I really wanted them to be a part of this project, you know, the relaunch of Raw History, because it shows a side that literally nobody but my family and some close friends have ever seen. And my whole life has just been filmed. And I don't want to sound like a celebrity, like, oh, I've been documented my whole life, but like, really, it kind of is true. I you know, definitely feel comfortable talking on the camera a lot more so than I do, you know, face to face with somebody. So I really wanted to, you know, include as much of my history as I could in Raw History, and also include people who were a part of that, my family, my friends, you know, specific categories and topics that were included. We're going to include the people who were there. So not only are you going to get, well, not only were you going to get my perspective from my point of view, but also those who were involved with me. You know, that way you really got a full picture of the story and my history, not just my perspective, but everybody who was involved. And unfortunately, at this point in time, it just wasn't meant to be. What's next for Raw History? Well, a lot. You know, this podcast is still going to be a thing. I'm still going to be making YouTube videos. I'm going to be making merchandise that more fits my brand. My, you know, me and my friends have catchphrases that we use that I find, you know, I'll start saying it, and a week later, they'll subconsciously start saying it too. So, like, just little catchy things that I really want to sell, things that I believe in, and not just, you know, a t-shirt that says Raw History. You know, something that everyone can relate to. So that's also part of it. I definitely, you know, will be having a website where you can, you know, view everything and be a part of this journey that I plan on taking. I don't know where exactly it's going to lead, but I can promise you that where it does lead, wherever it does, it's going to be 100% me. And that's all I've ever wanted from this entire project, truthfully, is just to allow people who may have preconceived ideas of who I am as a person, or things that I've been accused of doing, or, you know, I was going to own up to things that I previously denied. I was also going to speak up on things that I didn't speak up on when I should have. You know, there's just a lot of things that I still will have the opportunity to do so, just not with Raw History. So unfortunately, although Raw History has come to a close, That does not mean that the doors have not opened for other opportunities for my voice to be heard and my stories to be shared. Now, as you may or may not know, Raw History, the reboot, I guess, we were in talks with two different production companies in Buffalo, New York. The first one I am still kind of, I want to say, working with, but it's more so on a personal level with some of the team members that will be, you know, filming a segment for an upcoming YouTube special that I have in the works. I'm not going to discuss anything more than that because that's just what it just seems to be cursed when I do so. But it's going to involve my father and I, and they will be filming for me. So we do still have a business relationship. Now, as for the second production company, I have nothing bad to say about them. Their work was amazing. Maybe it just was not right for me. And I also had to take into consideration that there were a lot of things that I was going to be discussing that may get people in some type of trouble, like the whole Nathan Manifesto situation. Like, that, you know, opens up a whole door of lawsuits. And although my lawyer has signed off on me being able to speak on it and, you know, also telling me what I cannot speak on, it doesn't necessarily cover the production company, and I didn't think of it that way. I've never done anything on this scale. When I do YouTube videos, I follow YouTube guidelines, but I don't necessarily follow the rules of film. And I've never had to, you know, set up meetings or go to meetings on my behalf. I was always working behind the scenes and doing what other people said. So, you know, definitely a project manager would be very useful. But honestly, I went into this project full force. I didn't necessarily take a step back and think about my image and the brand and what it is that I'm trying to say and act accordingly. And my thing was being fully transparent with the production company was what I thought I was doing. But after speaking to a good friend of mine who is in the film industry, who actually referred me to the first production company, you know, he opened up my eyes to, you know, what I was not necessarily thinking about, or I wasn't even aware that I was or was not doing. And it definitely made me respect the work that both production companies, you know, basically took on the responsibility of in the beginning. And then, you know, things happen and life happens, and, you know, sometimes production things are halted due to whether it be budgeting or time restraints or scheduling conflicts. Things happen. You guys, it's 2020. COVID is still a thing. You know, the safety of those involved, both cast and crew, it's very much important, and, you know, actually the most important besides, you know, telling my story. But I think that my story can be told in other ways than, you know, potentially putting people at risk for, you know, legal litigation or health issues. So I have nothing bad to say about either production company. I will say that the second company I have had no contact with since I received the email stating that they would not be fit for the project. I did reach out to them and let them know, you know, that I had a whole spreadsheet and everything that was being sent over to them. And I heard nothing back, and that's when I, you know, put out the two YouTube videos. The first one basically announcing that the Raw History series has been canceled, and then the second one, which was supposed to be footage that was exclusively for the people who backed the Kickstarter campaign, and it was going to feature, you know, little clips, 30 seconds to a minute, maybe longer depending on the day, clips of every day, just normal everyday activity. It doesn't necessarily have to be Raw History related, but, you know, I did post that video, which included three of the, I want to say, 3 months worth of stuff that I was going to include. The people who did back the Kickstarter will receive that full video. It's over an hour and a half long, so bear with me on that. I do have a lot of editing still left to do. I do want to make it as polished as I possibly can for you guys, because you believed in this project as much as I did, and you shouldn't be punished because of, you know, my mistakes and or issues with the whole project in itself. So that is the last communication that I had. And I wish no, I wish them nothing but the best. And like I said, I still have a professional and personal relationship with the first production company, and they both have amazing work to offer, both very different, while both being very alike. So I encourage you to, you know, look them up. I'm, for specific reasons, not specifying the names, because I do have a very strong suspicion that there's a group of people that may have played part in the, you know, flag raising. I noticed a lot of specific people viewing some of the Instagram stories that I posted in regards to Raw History, mainly the ones where I mentioned and tagged the production companies, and a lot of clicks on the profile links that were tagged. And I just think that it's a little coincidental that, you know, how it played out. But again, we believe in karma, don't we? Yes, we do. So I'm not going to discuss nor address them or, you know, my conspiracy theories on what it may have been. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is that Raw History is, as a series, no longer, but Raw Histories as a brand is going to be expanding. And that is the truth. That is the Raw History. One of the really big important things that is still a staple in my life is spreading awareness to mental health and the stigma that it surrounds. And as you guys know, one of my favorite, if not all-time favorite artists is Brandy, and she released an album called B7, and on the album there's a song called Bye Bipolar. And it really, before I even heard the song, when the track listing first leaked, I was like, that's going to be my song. Just knowing Brandy and the way that she titles her music, I just knew it was going to be it. And in the song, she talks about being in a relationship that basically it took everything and anything out of her. It really, really, truthfully just left her. You know, one of the lyrics is, "You strung me like thread, I was damn near dead." And if you think about that metaphorically, you know, if you're holding a big ball of yarn or string, and you keep pulling at that string and keep pulling and pulling, eventually there's, you know, gonna be nothing but that end left. And you know, you're left with nothing. You give so much in a relationship, and if it's toxic, you're left with, you know, questioning your own existence and whether or not you still want to be here. And she really, really, lyrically, she spoke words that so many people, I'm sure, have experienced. Not only that, but the way that she sang the song, with, you know, the breathy undertones and the harmonies and just everything about the song, the production, the vocal arrangement, the lyrics, it really spoke to me, especially you know, regarding one of the relationships that I was in. And I'll get into that right after we play Brandy by Bipolar. So one of my past relationships, I entered it in a very, very bad time frame. My mindset was not right. I was not mentally there completely. I was still trying to figure out who I was, who I wanted to be, and I found myself in a new city, a big city, New York City. And it was just not in the right mind space to be putting somebody through my mental instability. And Bipolar really speaks for both of us, I feel. I have not, you know, mentioned or brought this up to him, but I really feel like the song can go both ways for both me and for him. It was a mentally exhausting relationship for the both of us. We were both at many times the our own worst enemy, but our own best friends. Like, we experienced a lot together, and you know, he definitely did a lot of amazing, amazing things and opened a lot of opportunities for me, not just, you know, mentally, but professionally, and pushing me in the right direction to live a sober life. For a while there, I was definitely on the road of, or I should say the path of even more self-destruction. And I think I know for a fact, if it was not for him, I would not be able to be in the mind frame and mental stability that I'm in now. And by no means am I saying that I'm completely mentally stable. I don't think anybody is right now in 2020, but he really definitely helped me in that aspect. But in the same token, you know, I put him through hell, and he in return did the same. And I think that it definitely made me question why I was still here, what I was doing with my life, why I was putting myself through this, why I was putting somebody else through this. And it was like playing a game of Russian roulette. You know, she says in the song, "You fucked with my head, I was damn near dead." And I think that we both fucked with each other's minds and heads quite a bit. And I can only speak for myself when I said that during that time frame, or when I say during that time frame, there were many of times where I felt dead. I felt like I was not who I was intended to be. And again, he definitely did help, you know, get me into counseling and a psychiatrist and getting on the right medication and actually opening up about the things that I was so hesitant to do so before. And honestly, I cannot, in many ways, I thank him for inspiring me to pursue raw history. As much as he didn't like the whole social media persona and all of that, and the filming and fans and music talk and celebrity talk, in his own way, he really did encourage, you know, me to speak my truth. And I'll never take that away from him. But if you listen to the song, it really reflects my mental state at that time. And that song is just so just telling. The whole album, if you haven't already, I don't know what you're doing, but please download legally, purchase, stream, whatever you can do, B7. It is a complete work of art, from the very first song to the interludes to the very last song. It is a piece of work and a masterpiece at that. She was so vulnerable, so open, so honest, so real, so raw, so Brandy. And y'all know I love Brandy. And I will tell you, if I don't like something, I'll be the first to admit, if there's a song of hers, I'm just like, mm. But with this album, even the interludes that are just very, very, like, echoey and don't really include too much, they're called All My Life, even those are just, it makes a full story. And I really feel like including this in the first episode of the podcast was super important, because it definitely speaks volumes, and it speaks louder than I could ever possibly speak on my mental state during a lot of, if not most, of my relationships that I've been in. And not just romantic relationships, professional relationships, friendships, the relationship with myself, my family. It really, really stuck out to me. So hopefully it did the same for you. Thank you. everything going on with the cancellation of the Raw History docuseries, 2020, mental instability and stability at times, and just everything that's going on in life, it's so simple to really just need a chance and a moment to get away, to find out who you are, to, again, like I stated, my original series, Moment to Reflect, to just really take a moment to reflect on who you are, to be able to not have people reach out to you and expect you to help them or save them or promote them. Or, you know, you can't be there for somebody if you can't be there for yourself. And that is a lesson that I have unfortunately learned the hard way. So a song that really, really sticks out to me is by Monica, and it's called Getaway. And this is a song that a lot of the time when I find myself just stretched so thin and just so stressed out, it's like, I just need to get away. And one of the lyrics that sticks out the most to me in the song is, I'm not Superwoman and I'm not made of steel. I've tried my best to handle all I've had to deal with. It's not as easy as it seems, and to think this was my dream. Now for everything I have, I'm grateful, but sometimes I've got to get away. And that's so true. Like, my dream is to inspire people, to tell my story, to encourage people to take moments to just really focus on their mental health and their selves and work on themselves, be a work in progress so you can become the best version of yourself. And, you know, she really captured that emotion so beautifully in this song. And she goes on to say, I've given so much of me, when is it my time to receive? Because Monica has her needs. And I've given so much of my energy, my time, my spirit, my money, my advice to so many people, but yet it those times when I need people the most, where is everyone? You know, they're nowhere to be found. There's no hand to be held. Like, you know, that's just the way of life. It is what it is. I'm not saying that I don't have an amazing group of friends and family that are there for me unconditionally, because that would be a complete lie if I were to say that. But it's this song is just so fitting for 2020 and for my life and this situation, especially after the cancellation of Raw History. It really just, I think I just need to get away, you know? Is that song not life? I'm just saying. Now, I think another person who would really, really feel the words to that song would be Britney Spears. And you're probably like, what? You don't know Britney? Like, you don't know her like that? And I don't. I will never claim to. But I have been a fan of Britney Spears since she first came out. I've always loved Britney. I've always supported Britney. And if you guys are not familiar with the Free Britney movement, I'm definitely going to be talking about that after I play Piece of Me by Britney, which is an iconic song, reminds me so much, it gives me so many, you know, feels and memories of crazy times with my friends, and specifically a night, I think it was around New Year's, if not actually New Year's, we started talking British, and we actually did this before Britney did, but nonetheless, we were obsessed with the album Blackout. I mean, I still am. We both still are. Like, it's an album that needs to be, like, praised, because it's such an amazing album. But the song Piece of Me kind of ties into what I've been talking about, and how every move that I make, every word that I type, every video that I post is scrutinized and made to be something that it's not, constantly being accused of things that are not in my intention, nor ever were they, and Yeah, so let's listen to some piece of me, and then I'm going to give you a piece of my knowledge about the whole Free Britney movement. Now, being that the topic of today's podcast is actually about being able to speak our truth, let's talk about Britney Spears. Now, if you've been living under a rock for the past decade, pop icon Britney Spears has been under a conservatorship for over a decade. Over a decade, okay? So in November, a judge announced that Britney Spears' conservatorship case has declined to remove her father, Jamie Spears, from control of her estate. Now, Britney claims that Britney is terrified of her father. She's even said that she has refused to perform anything until he is removed from the conservatorship. Now, there is a new case set for another hearing in December, but, well, this whole thing started in 2007, so just keep that in mind. So more than a decade ago, Britney Spears entered into a conservatorship with her father, Jamie Spears, after suffering a very public meltdown. Now, under the conservatorship, Jamie reportedly has full control over all of Britney's financial and medical affairs. If you don't know what a conservatorship is, it's when a judge appoints a responsible, quote, responsible person or an organization to care for another adult. Now, that adult must be declared unable to take care of themselves or manage their own finances. Now, this is according to the California court's website. Now, in Britney's case, the terms of the conservatorship have not been made public, but she herself wants to change that. Britney just filed to open up parts of her conservatorship, and this is according to TMZ, and it seems that the pop star herself is very much on board with the Free Britney movement. Don't worry, girl, we got your back. Trust me. Britney's fans have cited suspicion over this whole conservatorship, and they've been calling for it to end for years. There's currently a petition to the White House to help end the conservatorship and the Free Britney movement that is calling for legal intervention to help Britney regain control over her finances and her life. Some financial documents obtained by the Business Insider show that Britney spent $1.1 million on her legal and conservator fees in 2018. So basically, in 2018, Britney paid $1.1 million to have no freedom. That makes no sense. She herself is paying her own money to people to tell her she cannot do things. Why? It just makes no sense to me, but let's see how exactly Britney's conservatorship started and where things stand as of today. 2007 and 2008, Britney started acting a little bit erratically in public. Now, she had thousands of paparazzi following her, documenting, photographing, and publicizing every single move that she made while going through a lot of personal stuff that everyday humans go through. But I digress. She was seen out spotted driving her car with her infant son in her lap. She shaved her head, attacked a photographer's car with an umbrella, and in 2008, Britney was put under a 5150 hold in a psychiatric hospital two times for mental health evaluation. According to People, she, quote, went willingly. It was like something in her heart was telling her that she should go. She knew something was wrong. Now, this is coming from her, quote, former friend, Sam Lufty, and the Britney fans know we trust him zero. In 2008, Britney was officially put under a conservatorship. Her father, Jamie, petitioned at the courts at the time for an emergency temporary conservatorship. I quote, temporary, okay? Temporary conservatorship, according to the Los Angeles Times. It was granted, and under the conservatorship, her father was given the legal right to oversee decisions about Britney's estate, her health, and this includes negotiating business deals and restricting who can see her. What? It's hard to say when and where the whole Free Britney movement started, but in 2009, a website, FreeBritney.net, started questioning why Britney's conservatorship was even necessary, and those questions have continued to this day. Quote, during the 12 years of Spears' conservatorship, she has repeatedly toured the world, released multiple albums, and worked on a variety of television shows. her conservators decide whether or not she works, as she cannot enter into contracts for herself because she's legally not her own person. Can we discuss that? She's legally not her own person. Ugh. It continues to say Britney Spears needs permission from her conservators just to leave the house and to spend her own money. Money that she worked her butt off for. I'm just saying. Now, from 2009 until 2019, this conservatorship just keeps getting extended. The conservatorship had regular check-ins, according to Business Insider, and it just kept getting extended year after year after year. But in the meantime, Britney rolled out several music albums, and she even did a Las Vegas residency. The effect took its toll on Britney's relationship with her father. Jamie admitted in court in 2019 that, quote, "Me and my daughter's relationship has always been strained." I don't really believe that, because up until 2007, Britney never said anything bad about her dad. At least, not to my knowledge. I could be wrong. Also, in 2019, her father, Jamie, requested to have this conservatorship extended to more states. Jamie filed a notice of intent to extend Britney's conservatorship outside of California to three other states, Louisiana, Hawaii, and Florida. Quote, "Mr. Spears, in his capacity as conservator of the person and estate, intends to register the orders appointing Mr. Spears as conservator of the person and estate, as well as his letters of conservatorship, which states outside of California in accordance with each of the state's required procedures, including, without limitation at this time, the following: Florida, Louisiana, and Hawaii." Also in 2019, her father stepped down as her primary conservator. After being accused of physically abusing her 14-year-old son, Sean Preston, Jamie actually stepped down as Britney's primary conservator. Now, in the meantime, her longtime care manager, Jody Montgomery, temporarily is taking over Jamie's duties. Sources close to Britney insisted that the conservatorship is good for her. Now, Britney's lawyer, Stanton Stein, told LA Times that Britney is, quote, "always involved in every career and business decision." My question is, if that's the case, why has Britney recently publicly stated that she's not going to be performing, touring, or releasing any music until her father is no longer a part of this conservatorship? I'm just saying. It's also worth noting that Jamie himself is the one who hired Stanton Stein for this publication. Britney's manager, Larry Rudolph, who has been with her basically her entire career, stated that the conservatorship is not jail. It helps Britney make business decisions and manage her life in ways that she cannot do on her own right now. I'll continue. Now, in April 2019, Britney completed a stay in a mental health facility. Jamie, her father, became ill in January after suffering a health emergency, although was then seen by TMZ driving around same day, but I guess that's something that Britney definitely struggled with, and Britney eventually did a month-long stay at a mental health facility. Quote, "Everything is up in the air right now. It's going to take time. Her health is going to come before anything else. Nobody is talking about touring or work. She's taking it easy and is not thinking about her career. There have been no discussions about resuming the tour. She needs a break and a time off. She's not in the mind frame to even think about performing." It just doesn't make sense to me, but according to E! News, Britney is on an indefinite work hiatus as of right now. So, apparently, none of this makes any sense to me. A conservatorship is not meant to last over a decade. That's just, whatever. Now, in July of 2020, Britney's brother Brian finally spoke out. Britney's family rarely does interviews about Britney, and it's even more rare that her brother were to speak out to the public. But in July, he went on As Not Seen on TV podcast and talked about his sister's conservatorship. Brian stated, quote, "She has been in this thing for quite some time now. Obviously, there was a need for it in the beginning, but now they've made some changes and all we can do is hope for the best." He also went on to say that the conservatorship has been a great thing for our family to this point, and we keep hoping for the best. Well, of course it's been great for the family. You guys are getting a paycheck. Anyways, Brian added that his father, Jamie, has done the best he could given the situation that he was put in. He talked about how the family has, quote, had to work together to keep it all going. He then opened up about the strain that this has put on his entire family. One person might be on stage and doing this, but it's a sacrifice from everybody, he states. Everyone is putting in, to some degree, a little bit to keep everything going. Okay. Brian said that he and Brittany speak constantly and that she definitely wants out of the conservatorship. She always wanted to get out of it. It's very frustrating to have, he explained. Whether someone's coming in peace to help or coming in with an attitude, having somebody constantly tell you to do something has got to be frustrating. She's wanted to get out of this for quite some time. But Brian also seemed a little bit concerned about what could happen when the conservatorship does end. He said, I know what she wants, but at the end of the day, what is the reality of that? He said. What is the practicality of that? So are you going to call and make reservations for yourself today? She's a grown woman. Why can she not make her own reservations? Ugh. But Brian said he's sure ending the conservatorship would be an adjustment and even joked about his sister's ability to drive. He went on to say, she is the worst driver in the world. I'm not lying. He continued, I mean, bless her heart, she really is not a good driver, and she hasn't had to do that. Because she has not been allowed to do that. Ugh. August 2020, sources say that Britney's family planned to speak out more against the conservatorship. A source told Us Weekly that Britney's siblings and mom, Lynn Spears, are planning to give more interviews that would sway public support to end Britney's conservatorship. Now, obviously, Britney's legal team is not too thrilled about that, less money in their pockets, but Britney's lawyers are not happy that the family is going public with comments about how she feels and about how she hopes for the future of being free. Now, in September of 2020, Britney's lawyers filed to oppose sealing parts of this conservatorship. Britney's also fighting her dad's move to appoint a co-conservator of her estate. Instead of his pick, a lawyer who has been involved in her conservatorship for years, Britney wants someone new and independent. Now, personally to me, that kind of sounds like Britney wants somebody who has not been involved in this conservatorship, somebody who doesn't know what they're being force-fed. Again, just my opinion, my thoughts. Britney herself is very opposed to this effort by her father to keep her legal struggle hidden away in the closet as a family secret, which her lawyer revealed to TMZ. He states, that's far from being a conspiracy theory or a joke, as Jamie reportedly told the media. In large part, this scrutiny is reasonable and even predictable result of Jamie's aggressive use of the sealing procedure over the years to minimize the amount of meaningful information made available to the public. Now, also in September, it's been reported that Britney's family is, quote, at war. Britney's family is at war with one another, and it's all because of the conservatorship. Now, it turns out that Britney herself filed a request back in August to permanently replace her father with Jody Montgomery. And now that's the person who took over the conservatorship back in 2019. But this year, Britney has been actively trying to make changes to the terms of the conservatorship, a marked difference from years past. That could mean that she's engaging with the Free Britney movement on Instagram too, as fans have speculated. Britney is remarkably resilient and is very engaged in the conservatorship, whereas in years prior, she wasn't at all, the source told the publication. She would never ask questions about it, and she wasn't even allowed to go to court. Like, her own court hearing, she was not. But anyways, right now, her mother, Lynn, believes that it's time for Britney to take control over her finances and her personal life. While Jamie is pushing to extend the conservatorship yet again, her mother, Lynn, wants a care plan established that would transition Britney's personal life out of the conservatorship, the source said. Jamie has told her that Britney needs long-term monitoring and doesn't think that she's prepared to take such a drastic action. Now, one of the main major point of contention is the custody of Britney's sons, Preston, who's 15, and Jaden, who's 14, who currently live with her ex, Kevin Federline, 70% of the time. And that's all because Britney's custody has been reduced to 30% back in September. Now, any diehard or really any fan of Britney Spears will know that she has always stated that her two children are her everything. Now, it's been quoted that Britney wants to live her life on her own terms and is very displeased with the current custody arrangement. She needs to see the boys much more than she currently is. Unfortunately, as of now, the temporary letters of conservatorship have been extended through February 1st, 2021. yet another extension. Are we surprised? Do we start to see a little bit of a pattern here? Now, in November of 2020, Britney lost her bid to remove her father from the conservatorship for now. In a hearing that was closed to the public, a judge declined to remove Britney's dad as co-conservator of her life and estate. In legal filings, Britney's father argued that she's not ready to take back control of her life and her personal finances. Now, because of all of this, Britney is still refusing to perform and is going to continue her work hiatus if her father stays on as her conservator. Quote, "My client has informed me that she is afraid of her father. She will not perform again if her father is in charge of her career." Britney's lawyer told the judge at the hearing, per the Associated Press, that she has not worked or performed since early 2019. Her lawyer also states that she has not had any communication with her father in months, though her father's lawyers argue that that is because her lawyer has advised Britney not to communicate with him. Even if that is true, I'm gonna have to agree with her lawyer on this one. I don't think that's best, especially right now. But anyways, Britney did have a small win in court though. Though the judge did deny the removal of her dad from her conservatorship, the judge did approve to add a co-conservator to her estate, the Bessemer Trust, which was what Britney's team requested. Now, the next hearing for the case is scheduled December 16th. I'm sure that you've all, you know, seen the Instagram posts where fans stated, "If you're in trouble, wear yellow," you know, all these different random things, and a lot of them are probably just coincidental, but I do find it a little bit suspicious that a fan specifically chose the color yellow, and Britney has since posted multiple photos with captions that state something about yellow being her favorite color, wearing yellow clothing, just a lot of weird things. Which also brings me to the whole Instagram account itself. Who exactly is running this Instagram for her? Is it her? Is she the one making these posts? Now, definitely parts of me want to say yes, because, I mean, it sounds like Britney, and it is obviously pictures and videos of Britney, but anyone working with her for as long as this whole conservatorship team has been working with her, it wouldn't be hard to record her or make her record something or, you know, have photos that were on her phone and post as if she were posting. Now, again, this is just my personal speculation, but if you guys have watched any of the videos, they're almost uncomfortable. And I say that with respect and love for Britney. I want to make sure that that's very clear. But it just doesn't seem like Britney. Of course, we all have different moments in our lives where things are much easier or harder to deal with, and she is on medication. We don't know what, because the whole medical part of the conservatorship has been sealed, but it's been, you know, no secret that they've definitely medicated her multiple times and tried to keep her on a specific medication that, for whatever reason, she does not want to be on. But in the videos, she's, you know, rocking back and forth. She almost looks like a robot. She doesn't really have any answers. She just wanted to assure people that she's okay. Although what I'm looking at is not a person that is okay. And again, it just seems as if she's being coached, being, you know, told what to say, what to wear, how to stand. And it just makes her uncomfortable. She's suffered from anxiety, and she's always been a very fidgety person. So when she's put under a situation where she's not comfortable or she is not in control, of course that's going to give somebody anxiety. That's just knowledge. So this whole situation, it just really, really concerns me, especially considering this woman has made a name for herself so big without the help of any conservatorship before, and it's almost like it's become who she is. People expect this. People, you know, are the gossip blogs and everything are just basically running with this story and making it seem as though Britney needs this conservatorship. I'm not saying that she doesn't need help with, you know, financial matters or things of that nature, but for goodness sake, she's a grown woman. Let her use her phone. If she posts something, let her post it. It's social media. Who cares? Let her drive a car. If she's a bad driver, let her get a ticket. Let her see her children. She is at her prime when she is taking care of her babies. Like, this just, to me, any normal human being who, even just from what we see, and again, the videos that she posts are a little bit concerning, but not to the point where it alarms me and flags, you know, the emotion of that she's mentally unstable and needs help. To me, it seems as though she's being micromanaged and controlled and put under a microscope on top of the microscope that the media has already placed upon her. This, I could go on for hours and hours and hours about this whole Free Britney movement, but I really just wanted to give you a little brief timeline as to how this started, when it started, and the progression that has been made throughout the decade. And I would love to hear what you guys have to say about this, if you have any opinions. I have spoke to some people who are, in fact, close to her team, and I don't know. You know, when her photographer, I believe he was a director of photography for a couple of projects, released that handwritten letter that she wrote, basically speaking in the third person, where he states that he was supposed to read that letter on behalf of Britney. And of course, the whole conservatorship team got a hold of that. But of course, being the person that was worried for Britney, because he's a genuine human being who cares about people, made a copy of that letter and publicly posted it on TikTok, and it went viral, and it raised even more concern for Britney's well-being. The letter itself is very much easily accessible online. All you'd have to do is search handwritten Britney letter to friend or something like that. But it definitely raised a bunch of eyebrows and made me concerned personally, because I know her handwriting. I know that she wrote that. Britney has a very distinct way of writing certain letters, and there's just no going about the fact that it was, in fact, handwritten by Britney. Now, where this ends, how the story develops, I'm not sure. I just hope that whatever is best for Britney's well-being, her mental stability, her career, her children, herself, just everything involved, is just what's best. So if a conservatorship being extended but under her terms would be best, then by all means, do that. If, you know, getting rid of the conservatorship altogether and allowing Britney full access to her life again is what's best, do that. Why is everyone so focused on money right now? The amount of money that the conservators make off of Britney is absolutely disgusting, and the fact that she has to pay people to limit her spending makes me a little bit uneasy. But again, I am nowhere near associated with Britney, nor the conservatorship, nor anything involving Britney other than being a fan. But I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this situation. Do you know anything that I didn't mention? I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that is involved with this whole conservatorship, but I wanted to try to keep this a little bit short and just kind of give you the basic timeline. I myself am 100% team Free Britney, as long as she is okay and safe. And that's just what it is. I want her to be mentally, physically, emotionally at peace. And I really want her to be able to do what she loves the most. There's been so many articles, so many interviews, so many everything, publications stating that Britney herself has stated that she never felt more alive than when she's performing and dancing and singing and entertaining. That is what Britney is known for, entertaining. Well, we might not ever have that if her voice is not heard. And I think that it is so unfair that, being under conservatorship or not, she still has a voice. She should still be able to use it. And I think that she's getting much, much smarter and much craftier when it comes to being able to do so while not being in violation of the conservatorship. So again, sound off, let me know your opinions, your thoughts, and if you know anything else, keep me posted.